Current Affairs. This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on India's decisive fight against Naxalism. The participants are MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General, CRPF, and Joseph John, Senior Journalist. Moderator is Abhinandan Mishra, Journalist.
Today we will be discussing about India's decisive fight against Naxalism. And as you all would be aware that the government of India has set a deadline of March 2026 to eradicate Naxalism from India. And we are all are following the incidents that have happened in Chhattisgarh and in the other parts of the states which are affected by Naxalism, and how the government has taken numerous steps to tackle Naxalism in the state, including just not military power, but steps on the socio-economic fronts. So we will be talking about this particular subject. And with me, we have former IG MP Nathaniel, who retired from the CRPF and who has a very vast experience of working on the ground. We will also have from Raipur, Shri Joseph John. He's a very senior journalist who has also worked in Raipur for more than one decade. And we will be joined by Vikalp Shukla, who's our correspondent based in Raipur. So first, we'll start with a report from Vikalp on the current situation in Raipur.
Vijayadashmi was celebrated across the country yesterday. The festival symbolizes the triumph of truth over falsehood. In Chhattisgarh, the day of Vijayadashmi marked the victory of peace over violence and development over delusion. In Bijapur district of the state, 103 Naxalites surrendered yesterday. This was the largest ever surrender by Naxalites in Chhattisgarh. Thus, the day of Vijayadashmi proved to be a significant milestone towards the central government's resolve to make the nation free from Naxalism by March 2026. The surrendered Naxalites were influenced by the Poona Margam campaign being carried out by the police administration in Bastar. Poona Margam means a new life through rehabilitation. In recent times, with many top leaders of the Maoist organization either killed in encounters or forced to surrender, this disillusionment is growing among its cadres. The new surrender and rehabilitation policy of the Chhattisgarh government is also motivating Naxalites to lay down their arms. So far, nearly 1,000 Naxalites have surrendered in the Bastar division this year. Vikalp Shukla, Akashvani News, Raipur.
Mr. Nathaniel, I would like to know from you, like, what are the challenges that the security forces have traditionally faced from Naxals, especially in Chhattisgarh, because Chhattisgarh is one state that has faced the maximum brunt of Naxalism.
The problem with the Naxalism was that we were lacking intelligence earlier. So because of lack of intelligence, we would not get to know even when there were about 300-400 Maoists gathering at a particular spot and then attacking the security forces. But during the last few years, our intelligence system has become so robust that we are now able to get immediate information about any movement of the Maoists. And that is largely the reason for because of which we are achieving success everywhere, and we are able to nab them as soon as we get the information. The second is that there is a very good concentration of the troops also in that area, because of which the time taken for the forces to reach a particular spot is much lesser than what it was earlier. Earlier we used to have bulletproof vehicles also, but the Maoists were able to dig deep inside the roads and culverts, and they were able to plant so much IEDs that even these bulletproof vehicles were not able to withstand that blast. So, but of late, we have now started penetrating into all the villages also. We have established over 100 camps. They are known as base camps, where the security forces have now taken position. Abujamrad, which was earlier their fort, and they could dictate terms from there. Now that has been completely taken over by the security forces. And because of this, the presence of forces after every 5-10 kilometers is there, and that helps the security forces to reach any spot immediately when they get the information. And of course, the main problem is most of them are staying in jungles, and our men have started patrolling these jungles quite often, and they are now conversant with the area also. Of course, the biggest strength we have is of DRG also, District Reserve Guard,
yes,
because they are largely comprising of the local personnel.
Tribals, yes.
And many of them are the ones who have surrendered, and they know the area much better than the CAPF. So that is a big advantage, and using that advantage, we have been able to penetrate all the jungles also. And as you know, recently we had a massive operation of about 20 days in the Karikuta forest, where we were able to nab about 30 fellows over there. And we had been able to capture a lot of weapons, plus we were able to block all their caves where they were taking shelter over there. So this way we have been able to have upper hand now, and they are now wondering as to what to do.
So that's why they are pushing for surrender, right?
Yeah, that's the reason, because they know if they continue with their activities, right, they'll get killed. So much better it is to go in for this lucrative surrender policy that has been given out by Chhattisgarh government. And if they make use of this rehabilitation policy, they'll be much benefited in the sense that they'll be able to live with their families. And over and above that, they'll be able to get some skill training and get into some good jobs, stay with families. Plus the government is constructing about 15,000 houses also.
So at this point, I would like to bring in the speech and the statement given by Home Minister Amit Shah on the surrender policy recently.
Surrender karna hai, to ceasefire karne ki zarurat hi nahi hai. Hathiyar dal do, police ek bhi goli nahi chalayegi, aapko re-establish karegi. Aur jaise hi patra hai, sab log kud pade. Humne Operation Black Forest kara hai. Ye sari vampanti partiyan ab tak vampanti hinsa se kanni kaatti thi, sarvajanik roop se. मगर जैसे ही ऑपरेशन ब्लैक फॉरेस्ट हुआ, उनकी सारी छद्म सिंपथी एक्सपोज हो गई. उन्होंने पत्र लिखा, प्रेस नोट दिया कि ऑपरेशन ब्लैक फॉरेस्ट तुरंत बंद कर दिया जाए.
वी ऑल्सो हैव श्री जोसेफ जॉन विद अस फ्रॉम रायपुर. जोसेफ जी, डू यू थिंक दैट द गवर्नमेंट इज इन अ पोजीशन दैट इट विल बी एबल टू इरेडिकेट नक्सलिज्म फ्रॉम छत्तीसगढ़ एंड फ्रॉम अक्रॉस इंडिया बाय मार्च 2026?
I have been tracking this Nexalism coverage even before the Chhattisgarh was formed when I was in Madhya Pradesh. Bastar was part of undivided Madhya Pradesh. But over the last few years, the violence has already come down. And what I feel that the way things are moving up, definitely the left-wing insurgency is almost, by and large, it will taper down in the next few months.
And what is your assessment that this problem cannot just be dealt with police force? You need wholesome approach, which Home Minister Amit Shah also, the speech that he has said, that it needs to be dealt socially and economically also.
Naxal prabhavi jilon mein 1007 bank ki shakhaye ye sirf 5 saal mein kholne ka kaam hua hai. 937 ATM banaye aur 5731 daggar banking seva ke sath kholne ka kaam Bharatiya Janata Party.
What is your view on that?
Yes, it's more than a law and order problem, because for the last several decades, this region has been facing the Naxal issue, and the local population, as they have also controlled the population psychologically. So what comes now is that since the violence has come down, the government needs to gain trust of the people. So for that, Vishnudev Sai government has already formulated some schemes like Niyad Nellanar Yojana, which in local language means your good village. So wherever there are security camps, the government has introduced intensive measures for providing electricity, road, drinking water, housing, education, healthcare, banking services, mobile connectivity, and Anganwadi centers, so that it can be delivered at the people's doorstep. The idea is to win the confidence of the people and just send out a message and send out in real time that the government can provide these facilities and win the trust, so that Maoist, again, they did not infiltrate into the society. That is the thing. The idea is that the trust gap between the state and the tribal communities, which was a very wide some 10-15 years ago, that is coming down.
So does that explain the fact that why the recruitment of young people, especially from the tribal belt, has decreased in these areas, as various government reports have identified?
Yes, that recruitment has come down because of the multi-pronged strategies. One is presence of central armed police force in the region. And earlier, there were some areas in Bastar which was dominated by the Maoists. Now, you cannot say there is any particular place which is dominated by the Maoists, but it is dominated by the forces. So they have pushed back. The Maoists, even if they are confined to some certain pockets and very small pockets, they are confined. Though this has badly affected their recruitment strategies, number one. Second, simultaneously, the government has come up with the rehabilitation policy, local development policy for inclusive development of the area. Combined together, it's a socio-economic problem. So the state government is trying, and the center are trying to address both the issues.
So, Mr. Joseph, I would like to understand first from you and then from Mr. MP Nathaniel that you have covered Naxalism when till 2014 when the Congress-led UPA government was in power in across India in the central government and in Chhattisgarh also. And then now we are seeing for the last 10, 11 years, BJP-led government is in power. So do you see any noticeable changes in the way Naxalism was tackled by the Congress-led government and the changes that the way Naxalism is being tackled by this particular government? Do you see any specific changes? Yeah. I mean, any noticeable changes that has led to this situation that now we are at the last stage of Naxalism?
What I can feel on the ground is that one is political will of the center and the state. It is working together to fight the Maoists, to push them back, and simultaneously winning the confidence of the local population. So all these initiatives like rehabilitation policy, new rehabilitation policy, even what significant thing which I can mention is that in the state government has come up with a new industrial policy where they have offered some incentives to the industries which provide employment to the surrendered Naxals. So it is just in the beginning stage. And that's also a good initiative. The idea is to integrate them into the mainstream.
MP Nathaniel, I just wanted to know the response to this particular question. Do you see any noticeable changes that this government has taken from the previous government?
Of course, there have been some changes in the sense that there has been a massive induction of the security forces in that area. Abuj Mart, which was remaining untouched for a very long time, there we have been able to induct the security forces. And earlier, the construction of road was a big problem. Whenever any attempt was made to construct the road, the Naxals would come and attack the fellows who were working in construction of roads. So that fear has been removed by inducting more forces, and under the supervision of CRPF personnel, they have been able to construct the roads, and because of this connectivity, development has gone into each and every village in that area. And it is largely the Central Reserve Police Force, which I feel has been doing a great work, because they have been inducted in a large number of personnel. And they have been constantly chasing these fellows. Of course, they have made sacrifices also for this cause. But they have been persistent in their pursuing the Naxalites. And they have been able to control the situation to a very great extent. So I think the development that has begun, that is largely due to the contribution of the CRPF personnel who have been guarding the roads, and then mobile towers also have come up. They are guarding all these places, and because of the establishment of posts in different corners, they have been able to ensure that the Maoists are not able to enter the village or recruit the boys over there. And of course, now they are targeting the Shiksha Doots. Shiksha Doots are the teachers who have been recruited by the government to conduct classes for the children in these remote villages. They are being targeted, and till now they have already targeted about 8 Shiksha Doots. And then they are even targeting the Sarandris. The government has to be very careful about the Sarandris. They have to be well protected so that it does not obstruct the surrender of more Maoists. And then, of course, they have even targeted the kin of policemen, brothers of policemen such relatives. They have to be very cautious. And the only other alternative that they have now is planting IEDs, because they can't gather in large numbers as they used to do earlier to carry out an attack. So now they have resorted to mainly IEDs, and the forces have to be very careful. Of course, the CRPF has a number of sniffer dogs, and we are supported by drones also. So with the help of these drones and sniffer dogs, they are able to detect a large number of them. And even in this operation, which was carried out for 20 days, we had carried out operations with the dogs and drones. And one of our dogs also had to sacrifice its life because it had gone onto a beehive, and the bee had completely bitten the dog and died subsequently. So this kind of thing is something which has come off late. Like earlier, we didn't have drones and that many sniffer dogs and all. These things have now helped, and we are able to now have an upper hand over the Maoists in that area.
there is another very serious aspect, and it's just not limited to Naxalism. It's true for every armed resistance or armed terrorism, as one can call it. And that is about the support these armed groups, they get from the people who are working in the mainstream society, who are also known as the overground workers. We see this concept very active in Kashmir also. We saw this concept very relevant in Northeast also. So I would like to know that how vital is this setup, this entire overground worker setup, which the Home Minister has also referred multiple times, that these Naxal used to get support from the academy, from the intelligentsia, and these people would support, they would provide quote-unquote the fire to these people through their writings. How serious is this issue?
Of course, this needs to be kept under check. And when I was IG of Jharkhand, there we caught hold of a guy who was a topper in MA Economics, and he was very intelligent fellow also. And with such intelligent fellows in their ranks, they can definitely be successful in giving that ideology to the other recruits and trying to brainwash them. So we need to be careful, and we need to maintain a surveillance of such people so that they are not able to indoctrinate the younger lot and keep them away from such things.
Sri John, would you like to speak, give your insight on this particular aspect of overground workers and people in the civil society supporting these armed groups, specifically in Chhattisgarh?
Yes, there have been allegations in the past about some NGOs active in Bastar are supporting them. But as you know, there have been some arrests in the past also some few years back. But the matters are still pending in the court. And as you know, civil society, whether civil society is directly involved or not, these are still remains to be allegations, and that has not been proved. But yes, as it needs to be checked and controlled, and whether there has to be surveillance to find out whether the people in the urban areas are directly or indirectly supporting these type of insurgent activities.
And staying with you, in my experience, one of the main reasons due to which some young people would join Naxal group was the, specifically from the tribal community, was that the exploitation that they would face from the people who were in power in these remote areas in Bastar and all, because they would say that we are not getting the kind of government support and every people in the other state is getting. So, and that was something the Naxals would also exploit, that what is government giving to you? Why do you want to stay in this particular thing? So join us. So has that changed on the ground?
It is gradually changing. That is the thing. When during undivided Madhya Pradesh, even any officer was sent to Bastar, he always considered it as a punishment posting. But after formation of the state, that distance has come down, and even today. But that perception needs to be changed, and government has started working on it. And particularly in the last 2 years, the state government is trying to bridge this gap and instill a sense of belongingness. The local people should also feel that they are part of the system. That is the thing. For that thing, the government has promoting ecotourism facilities. So basically, economic activity is being involved. Then culturally also, they are being involved. The state government is organizing festival like Bastar Pandum and Bastar Olympics so that they feel a sense of belongingness. And they should also feel that the government is with us. All these type of developmental activities, cultural activities, promoting tourism, promoting economic activities, all this together will help overcome this situation.
Excellent insight from this. So, MP Nathaniel ji, do you agree with this assessment that there was a gap between what the government wanted to do, what it did, and that led to a bridge, I mean, the gap between the Naxals, between the local population and the civil government? And that allowed the Naxals to recruit more and more. And do you think that that has changed in the last few years? And I would like you not to just refer to Chhattisgarh, generally across the areas which are affected by any kind of military terrorism.
Earlier, what have happened is that certain places were not covered by the security forces. And the Maoists had a field day for themselves. They would recruit the fellows because they live in utter poverty. And poverty is one of the reasons which drove them towards Maoists. Because once they become Maoist, they get at least their food to eat and place to live, shelter, everything they would take care of. So because of that also, many would have joined the Maoist strength.
Right.
But now they are saying that development has taken place everywhere. Why should we join these fellows and stay in jungles and starve over there at times? In fact, their women are treated in a very bad manner over there. They are supposed to go undergo vasectomy and tubectomy for the men and women. So they have got a lot of problems among the women. That's the reason many have surrendered also. So because of the poverty, they were earlier going for this thing. But now they would not like to go because they are finding that areas are being developed and they are being offered opportunities to go for further studies, go for better education, and then look for good jobs also and have a settled family life with their wives and children.
Coming back to you, Joseph ji, so what is your assessment regarding, do you think that government right now is facing huge challenge to achieve its target of March 2026 of completely eradicating gangsterism from the state? Do you think there's any single challenge?
No, as of now, what it seems, the indication is that insurgency will be tapered out by in the next couple of months. I don't exactly say that it can be eradicated or so like that. It world over, insurgency has always been tapered out. It takes a long time, but violence have started declining and it will definitely taper out in the coming months. But there are some, what I personally feel is that there are some challenges. Earlier it was mentioned, they are targeting some shiksha doots and small incidents. So such sporadic incidents of violence is still continuing in the interior belts and it will take some time to gradually phase out. Now the another bigger challenge is that we have to, what I feel is that balancing industrialization with tribal rights and forest protection, that is also crucial. Once some industrialization is taking place, it should also balance with the forest protection and tribal rights. So again, sustained employment is for youth. That also needs to be ensured. And lastly, long-term investments in health and education are also necessary. All these combined together, one side we can reduce the amount of pressure on them and reduce the violence. But on the other side, gaining trust and improving their economic activity, respecting the tribal communities and their heritage, and all these factors could also play an important role for long-term peace.
So if you had to give one suggestion to the central government, to let's say to the Home Ministry, since you are working there, you have worked there for a long time, what would that be? Are you okay with whatever they are doing? Or you would like to add something to that?
No, that is the protection of tribal rights, because the tribal, it's a very sensitive issue, and protection of forest and tribal rights and their culture. While you are going for industrialization, while you are providing this thing, but now you are opening it for tourism. But tourism has to be sustainable and culturally respectful. If that is not there, all these things will again back to square one. So it's an overall effort. Whatever you are doing, that you have to do it in a comprehensive way. It should benefit the local communities. It should be culturally respectful. It should be sustainable, the youth should get jobs, and everything should be combined together. You cannot just focus on one area and say that, okay, we have done this, so the problem is solved.
Okay. So, Sri Nathaniel, would you agree with this assessment that government has done a lot and is on the right path, but if you had to give one suggestion, what could that be?
I would say that the NGOs which have been so far targeting the security forces for inhuman treatment or anything like that, they can now be roped in the development efforts of the government also. These NGOs, now that the things are likely to end by the end of this year.
Right, okay. So you believe that this entire Naxalism will end by this year?
By December 31st, that's what I presume.
Okay.
Considering the way the operations are being conducted incessantly, there's no break at all. Okay. And the way the Maoists are coming forward in large numbers to surrender also.
Right.
And then the arrest part of it also.
Okay.
So considering all these things, I feel by December 31st, we should be able to get rid of this Maoist menace once for all. But in spite of that, I would say that the security forces should continue to remain there, lest you start pulling out and these fellows again start recruiting the boys.
And this assessment of yours is based on your experience that you have gained, that exactly, when normalization appears, then the forces should not be pulled out.
Normalization will take some years. We can't say that straight away khatam ho gaya to pull out the forces. No.
Okay.
The forces should continue for some time, and the normalization, like in Punjab also, we had that kind of a thing.
Okay.
After the situation had normalized, we had still kept a few battalions in all the places.
Okay.
And once we were very sure that things have come to normal. In fact, CRPF has been there in almost in every state which was affected by terrorism or nationalism, and we were able to control by continuous operation,
right,
and then controlling the situation there, and after that remaining there till the situation was totally clear of all such things, then we were sure that it is not likely to raise its head. But the intelligence machinery has to be robust all the time, even after the forces are pulled out.
Joseph ji, coming back to you for the last question, do you agree with what MP Nathaniel ji said, that regarding the role of NGO that they should play now? Earlier, some of the NGOs, which you have also spoken about, they were accused of fomenting trouble, supporting Naxalism. Do you think that now they should come forward and support this particular initiative, which will start, let's say, in the coming 4-5 months?
The role of NGOs in such areas becomes important because they can be roped in for development, but their background check has to be done. Otherwise, it will be counterproductive. When we all say that even the government of India also is concerned about the activities of some NGOs, but yes, specific purpose for building hospitals, for that such specific purpose, education, you can rope in some NGOs. There has to be very close monitoring on them, okay, what they do and what they do.
So right now, I would like to bring a part of speech that was given by the Home Minister Amit Shah on Sunday regarding this particular aspect that we have been discussing.
31 मार्च 2026 तक ये देश नक्सलवाद से मुक्त हो जाएगा। नरेंद्र मोदी सरकार का परिश्रम, बारीक आयोजन, इनकी विकास की भूख, संतोष देने के लिए किए गए प्लानिंग और पैसों का आवंटन है, और सुरक्षा ग्रिड को एक भी जगह गैप न रह जाए, इस तरह से हमने पुख्ता किया है। संवाद, सुरक्षा और समन्वय, ये तीन सिद्धांतों को अपनाकर हमने नक्सलवाद के खिलाफ हमारी लड़ाई जारू की। मैं डीआरजी, एसटीएफ, सीआरपीएफ, आईटीबीपी और बीएसएफ के जवानों को ढेर ढेर बधाइयां देना चाहता हूं। बहुत सारे लोग ऐसा मानते हैं कि नक्सलवाद की हथियारी गतिविधियां समाप्त होने के साथ ही नक्सलवाद की समस्या समाप्त हो जाएगी, मगर ऐसा है नहीं। इस देश में नक्सलवादी समस्या क्यों पनपी, क्यों बढ़ी, क्यों विकसित हुई, इसका वैचारिक पोषण किसने किया, और जब तक भारत का समाज ये थियोरी का, ये नक्सलवाद के विचार का वैचारिक पोषण, लीगल समर्थन और वित्तीय पोषण करने वाले समाज में बैठे हुए लोगों को समझ नहीं लेता है, और उन लोगों को हम वापिस नहीं लाते हैं, तब तक नक्सलवाद के खिलाफ लड़ाई समाप्त नहीं हो जाएगी। हम हथियारी नक्सलियों को सरेंडर कर या हमारे जवान उनसे मुकाबला कर उनको अरेस्ट कर आमना सामना होगा तो न्यूट्रलाइज कर समाप्त कर सकते हैं, मगर ये विचार के लिए हमें आगे बहुत कुछ करने की जरूरत पड़ेगी।
सो इट इज क्लियर फ्रॉम द स्पीच दैट वॉज गिवन बाय द होम मिनिस्टर दैट फॉर द गवर्नमेंट ऑफ इंडिया द मिलिट्री पार्ट ऑफ दिस इंटायर थिंग विड मे बी इट विल एंड बाय मार्च 2026, बट द अदर एस्पेक्ट दैट डील्स विद द आइडियोलॉजिकल थिंग, द सपोर्ट सिस्टम एंड ब्रिंगिंग इन द क्रिएटिंग सिस्टम दैट विल इंश्योर दैट नक्सलिज्म इज कम्प्लीटली इराडिकेटेड फ्रॉम द कंट्री विल गो ऑन। विद दिस आई वुड लाइक टू थैंक बोथ माई गेस्ट MP Nathaniel जी एंड Joseph John जी फॉर गिविंग देयर इनसाइटफुल views on this particular topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India's decisive fight against Naxalism. The participants were MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General CRPF, and Joseph John, senior journalist. Moderator was Abhinandan Mishra, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044. Current Affairs.